Hi there. Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Y'all, I'm tired. I'm sorry it's been a while. I keep having to say that, but being a caregiver for two parents with varying stages of dementia is no joke and no small thing. I don't even know where to start, except thank you for still being here, because being a caregiver and living with two elderly people is one of the most isolating things in the world, and knowing that there are people out there that are listening and care, it's really huge. I joined an Alzheimer's and caregivers support group on Facebook a while back, and I just was posting something just now, and I realized there were 55,000 people in this Alzheimer and dementia care group. It's for the people that are the caregivers for these people. I'm fascinated by how many people are struggling with this disease, you know, in one form or another, especially because all the baby boomers are really hitting their stride with all this right now. But my God, it's, you know, with all the other stuff going on in the world, with everything happening in Ukraine and, you know, just across the world in general, what so many of these people, myself included, are dealing with on a daily basis, the humanity of it all is astounding. So I just want to thank you very much for witnessing it and being there in whatever way that you are, because I swear I look up one day and it's Monday, and with all of the caregiving and the planning and the intuitive stuff I have to do for mom's medical issues and all the researching and all the shopping and all the grabbing of the things that she needs and all the, you know, rushing around to make it all happen, the next time I look up again, it's Monday again. And I don't know where the entire week is gone. I have no idea. It's just gone. And there's been very little time, you know, even with what I know about self-care and what I need to do for me, there's been very little time to practice that. So it's a fascinating hands-on journey that I'm on right now on, you know, just trial by fire of this whole hospice journey, death doula, end of life, wellness care, energy balancing thing that I am learning to do. But I will say today was a really super frustrating but really good day. And so these are the kind of things where it really helps to look for the silver lining in any cloud. And I'm grateful. I've always been able to do that. You know, at the times when my mom's been in and out of, you know, mental hospital after mental hospital for her bipolar. And, you know, I was always able to find the silver lining in the clouds. You know, the beauty that was in the midst of those huge crises. The same when my dad got run over by the hit and run driver. I was like, okay, let's harvest the lessons in this and the gifts, because there's always gifts, right? And here's what the gift was today. This was our third attempt today to get a blood draw for my mom, because she's been having one horrible infection after another. A combination of urinary tract infection, which if you deal with the elderly at all, you know that a UTI is one of the worst things they can get, because if they have a little, you know, even a little bit of dementia, a UTI will turn them from, you know, just kind of okay to, oh my God, what's going on, in a nanosecond. Like, you know, if they're a little clumsy and forgetful and, you know, a few issues with their dementia, a urinary tract infection literally will make them go from being able to have a conversation like this to asking them a question and this is their answer. That's what my mom would sound like. And she would go from being able to feed herself to falling out of her chair at the table. And I mean, just a whole lot of other symptoms that go with it, but literally going from somewhat functioning human being to almost absolute vegetable within a day or two. That is what a urinary tract infection will do to an elderly person with dementia. Then you top it off with a secondary infection, which my poor mom has been having. And thank God I'm here to ask questions and point and poke and ask open-ended questions. And where does it hurt? And how does it hurt? And what does it feel like? Remember when you felt like this? Does it feel like that? Like those kind of questions, like I've been able to find out, you know, intuitively too, that she's had a sinus infection on top of her urinary tract infection, or a mouth infection on top of the urinary tract infection. So we've been dealing with a lot of stuff, and she's been going from somewhat okay to literally can't keep from falling down and nothing makes sense within like a day or two. It's been the craziest ride, y'all, but we needed to get this blood drawn, and this is where I'm so tired. All I asked my dad to do while I've been pet sitting for a family the last couple of weeks, you know, off and on, I've been gone for 2 or 3 nights at a time, just because I've got to get away for a minute for my sanity, and I've got to help these elderly animals that I agreed to help, you know, 3 or 4 months ago before all this started. All I asked my dad to do was be extra careful with mom and keep her hydrated so that we could get her blood drawn to find out if there was a metabolic or, you know, just another issue going on, you know, something that the blood work would tell, because the doctor isn't convinced that it's just infection. Like there's something else going on. So we've been trying to get a blood draw. All I need my dad to do is hydrate her like crazy. Keep her drinking. Keep her drinking. Don't overexercise her. Keep her drinking. Well, he just wouldn't. He just wouldn't do it. Like so many other things happening right now, just won't do it. So the first time I take her for a blood draw, like 5 or 6 days ago, we go, and it's the most traumatic thing in the world to my mom, because she's been getting her blood drawn every 3 to 6 months since 1976 because of the lithium that she's on for her bipolar. So she's got literally one vein left. Her other veins crawl and collapse and explode. They're full of scar tissue. Like it's just a mess. So it's really, really, really hard to get a blood draw for my mom. One vein left. If we go to the ER and they use one of those sonar things and they do it like deeper into her arm and they go deep into a vein, they can find one. But just going to a regular lab is a nightmare. So you have to hydrate her. You have to like heat up the area of her arms. You have to keep her moving. You have to do all this stuff to get her prepped to go, which of course my dad couldn't be bothered to help with. Hang on a second. Rowdy, stop. That's my dad's dog. He's sitting at my dad's door growling. Come here, buddy. Come here. Come here. You're okay. Anyway, so the first time we go, you know, of course I can't get it. It takes about 3 hours. Mom's traumatized. We can't get the blood drawn. Second time we go, my dad decides to exercise her and do rehab and walk her through the house and do all these things for her, even though he knows she's got sundowners and we have an afternoon blood draw, you know, about 3 o'clock, and she needs to be rested and hydrated and not, you know, overly taxed so that she can, you know, be okay to get the blood drawn. Well, she literally almost falls out of her walker chair and collapses in the waiting room because, you know, that's the day he decided that she needs to join the dementia Olympics, apparently. So that was, you know, another 3-hour round trip to try to make that happen. Well, finally, I get clear enough, it dawns on me to try to find out who is the best geriatric paid lab tech in the Austin area that can really do these elderly blood draws, because it's a specialty. Their veins are different. They collapse. It's a mess. So I find this place called Any Lab Test Now. Of course, it's 45 minutes south of my mom and dad. I get it all planned out. I've had my dad hydrate her for 2 days straight, so her veins are plump. I've got one of those microwave wraps that you put, you put in the microwave, you heat it up, you wrap it around them, and it keeps everything warm. We had that going in the car. I'm hydrating her in the car. We're driving down to Austin, you know, and I'm in charge of all of it. And I get her down there, and thank God we were able to get her blood drawn, because it's hugely traumatic for her, and it's important. Like, we need to get this. Of course, we have a home health nurse that comes weekly, but they're not good at drawing blood. So it's, you know, they just went, we're not doing it. And the LabCorp people went, we can't do it. And then the one at her geriatric doctor's office poked and prodded and never could make it happen. So, you know, finally was able to come up with a plan Q. I don't know if it was really like plan D or E, but anyway, we got it done. So this was the good point. We got it done today. After we were done, she was feeling so good about, you know, that being accomplished and actually feeling better the last couple of days, which was really rare. You know, I'm just going to leave that last break and explain to you what happened. This is how my life works right now. I'm trying to record my podcast and take 20 minutes for myself, and my dad comes out of his room and starts talking to me. He can tell that I'm on my phone doing something, but whatever he needs or thinks about is 10 times more important than whatever I'm doing. That is super frustrating to me. So he came out of his room, started talking over me, and did his ADD dementia thing and went back in his room. So that's why I got interrupted. That's why I can't think straight. That's why my intuition is really struggling right now to do what it needs to do, because it is like constant. I don't even have the word for it. It's like a constant radar scramble around here. Constant static all the time. I can't focus. I'm having the damnedest time, even with the gifts that I've got and my understanding of how to use them. It is a constant dance here to try to access them and not be just confused and bounced around completely. So my train of thought never can be consistent. It's virtually impossible right now. So anyway, the dog has gone into Dad's room. Dad's gone into Dad's room. Hopefully he'll stay in there for a minute. She's down for a nap. So maybe I can finish an actual podcast, because I will tell you, I have sat down about 12 times since the last time I did one of these podcasts to try to do one for you guys, and I just haven't been able to. I've been pulled away. So anyway, back to where I was. What I was trying to say was, the silver lining today was this. We're on the last day of really heavy duty scary antibiotics, the kind that raise eyebrows on the home healthcare people, and they go, oh, that's what they have her on? That's what we're on for the second round right now to try to knock whatever this is out of my poor mom's body, who I might add is like the Energizer Bunny. I told her that at lunch. I was like, good God, you take a licking and you keep on ticking, and I do not know how you keep doing that, but keep it up, girl. Because literally 3 days ago, she wasn't able to walk from the bedroom to the den, even on the walker. She was taking these little bitty teeny tiny steps. She's fallen over to the right. She wasn't able to feed herself. She had a massive tremor in her hand. When her dementia gets really bad, she's unable to make her mouth work. Her tongue doesn't work. She can't chew well. Swallowing stops being a possibility. So she has this cup full of pills that she has to take, you know, morning and night for supplements and her medication and everything. She wasn't able to swallow. So literally my mom is almost choked to death. And it's not an exaggeration. Maybe 7 times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, scary stuff, like worried about aspirating everything. So we're feeding her ourselves. We're having to keep texture similar. Like, she can have mushy stuff, but she can't have like liquid with rice in it. You know, she can't have soup with rice because that's two different textures. So I've been learning as I go a lot of stuff about how this works, like thickeners that you put, like water becomes a thing with people with dementia. They have an inability to swallow water. It's too soft, basically, and easy to swallow. So they have this thickener stuff that you have to put into it to make it thicker and trickier to swallow. Like with her pills, I did some research and intuitively, and I know so much of this is divinely led. I really do. Like I get when I start researching, I am led down the rabbit hole of the information that takes me where I'm supposed to go. So I'm grateful for that every single time. But when she was really choking a lot on her pills and having trouble with it, I found this information that said dementia patients really like carbonated water. And mom's been liking carbonated water for the last 6 or 8 years, which I never understood. But it's a different texture. It's more alive in their mouth. It's a different energy. And it does more in there while they're drinking it. So it brings their taste buds and their mind and everything kind of more alive. And so that and a big fat silicone straw where you can pinch it off and not let them drink too much, the combination of that is how we're able to give her pills. She can take the pills, we give her with carbonated water, we pinch off the silicone straw when she's got too much in her mouth so that she can swallow what she's got in there. And luckily we made it through the choking phase where she's come out of it now. Like she's able to use her tongue again and use her throat and, you know, manipulate stuff in her mouth right again. So today, after we got the blood drawn, I don't know what was happening, but it was one of those universe days where it was like, really? How bad do you want this? I think we're going to make this hard on you. Like, are you learning to be reactionary or not? Let's see. So there's this great gluten-free restaurant in Austin, and we were literally 45 minutes from mom and dad's house, almost down to the Airstream, which I have spent, I think, maybe 6 nights in since Halloween. That's how much I've not been at home and not been in my own joyful space and my own comfort zone. So that's why you haven't heard from me. But we're close to the Airstream, and there's a gluten-free restaurant. Mom and I are gluten-free. And she said, with a little twinkle in her eye, like a little kid, she's like, can we go do something good for lunch if my blood work happens? Well, number one, for her to think that. Number two, to be able to articulate it. And number three, to have a sparkle in her eye to ask that question, that's huge. We have had a zombie that was not home for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So this was amazing. It was like, yes. So you see that and you're like, of course, yes, that's what we'll go do. We'll go to the gluten-free place. Well, of course, I call them like 22 times to try to pre-order because it's freezing today. We can't sit out on the porch because it's too cold. We don't want to go inside because, you know, mom's super vulnerable. And I just, you know, we're still COVID sensitive. So we get there and I'll be damned if the health inspector is not inside checking everything. There's one waiter. He looks frazzled beyond belief. There's 7 tables in there in a tiny place. It's packed and nobody has food. So I'm like, no, we're not going to do this one. So I'm like, okay, we'll do our next place, which mom likes BJ's Brew House because it's big and they have lots of good stuff. Okay, so we go there. She gets out, bless her heart, gets out, gets on her walker, gets inside. We stand there and the woman says, it's like a 30-minute wait for a table. The place is virtually empty. But again, you know, COVID and staff shortages, I get it. So instead of losing my temper, like, you know, I have been doing more lately because I'm just exhausted and my dad is just like literally tap dancing on every nerve with golf cleats is what it feels like. But I was proud of myself. I just looked at the woman and went, no. Put mom back in the car, and she actually started laughing from it. This is big. She hasn't been in there to laugh. She goes, oh my God, this is just not working today. I was like, I know. Apparently that's not where we're supposed to be. So I said, okay, let's try one more thing. And I looked at her and I said, yep, I promised you a really good lunch. Because literally my mom has not been up and dressed and out and competent in 6 or 8 months. Like, I think we've had her out to dinner maybe twice, maybe three times since the pandemic started. So she looked good today. She had on this, it's like a, I don't know, deep turquoise colored, like velour tracksuit that's really cute. And I had a little shawl with a fuzzy collar over it that was the same color. She had that on. She had her transfer belt, which is a safety thing for moving elderly people. She had that on the outside of the jacket. I don't care. She had on a Depends and a poise pad and a waterproof diaper on top of all that under her cute little velour tracksuit. But her hair looked good. I've been cutting her hair. She's got a little bit of an old lady faux hawk, but it's really cute on her. Her sides are really short. The back's really short because she had bedhead, but she's got real pretty curly gray hair on top. And her eyes were alive today. She was twinkly. So she looked cute. She felt good. She had dignity. She had a diaper on that was waterproof. It didn't matter if she was incontinent because everything caught everything. Like, we had the right tools in place. I had a diaper bag in the car. It's what you do when you're taking somebody out. But I looked at her and I said, well, how about Longhorn Steakhouse? Because I know you would like a steak and a baked potato and maybe a bite or two of a dessert you're not supposed to have. And to see your mom's face when it's been half-masked and she's been pinched and closed off and shut down and wasting away, and to have a day with her. Sorry. Whew. To have a day with her where she is alive again and bright and alert, and her eyes are open and sparkly, and her humor is back, and she's got the ability to communicate, and she knows what you're saying, and she's grateful, and she's excited, and you're able to do something really simple for her. That's huge. So huge. And y'all, she's been really grateful lately. She has these lovely breakthroughs of just saying thank you and holding my hand and telling me she loves me. And I leave for an hour to go to the grocery store or run errands or whatever, and I come home and she says, oh my gosh, I missed you so much. Where have you been? I mean, those things are everything when you've had a traumatic past with your mom. So there's a lot of healing going on in this crazy time that we're in. But all that being said, we go to Longhorn Steakhouse. She walks herself in like a boss on her little walker with her big padded diaper butt. And she doesn't care. And she sits down like the princess that she is. And she looks good. And we order, and I cut up her food and put her little napkin on her and proceed to feed her. I don't care. She doesn't care. We do it, you know, discreetly. But she is so happy, and she makes little kitten, like, like little purring, happy sounds, like every bite she gets. And we have a full-on conversation like you have with a parent and someone you love who's there. That's what we did today. And that's when you have dementia and illness and things progressing so rapidly, those beautiful moments of clarity and connection are just everything. That's why I'm here. That's why the Airstream is going in storage. I'm paying for storage, but I literally have not been able to get back to the Airstream for more than like a half hour at a time to winterize it and do a few things, you know, as each winter storm comes through. I have not had time to pack things up and close up my storage sheds and, you know, get the Airstream ready to move again, because it's been sitting still for 5 or 6 years. Like, I need new tires. I need a couple of new batteries. I need to make sure it's safe to get it. I mean, it's a 2012. It's not like it's 100 years old, but it has been immobile for, you know, multiple years. So I've got some stuff I have to do to it. I need to get it inspected, you know, all that stuff. And I need to get it moved up into storage or to a sweet friend's property that's about 15 minutes north of my parents. She's offered to let me bring it there. So I haven't even had time to go talk to her. She's a new friend, so I haven't even met her in person, but I need to go talk to her and see if that's, you know, a viable option to possibly bring the Airstream there so I could go sneak up and, you know, just spend the day in my happy place and come back in the evenings to tuck mom in and check on stuff, because it's not only my mom that's declining, it's my dad too, and I have to fight through him to get to her to take care of her. So it's a multi-layered thing going on right now, and that's why you haven't heard from me. But today was kind of a sparkly day in the swamp that we've been in lately, so I just thought I'd come and share it with you. But sorry for the break in the middle of all this, but it's kind of appropriate for just how sporadic and strange and just out of hand everything is. Like, I wake up in the morning about 7:30 in the morning, and I walk out into the den to see them both, and from the second I see them until I go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, I can't catch my breath. I can't do anything for me. It's just cooking and cleaning and running and grabbing and doing and what needs to happen next and what are our options and how do we do this. And so it's just a lot. But you know, with this connection that I got with my mom right now and the healing that's happening on a bunch of levels, I wouldn't change it for anything. I just wish my dad would catch up. Because as much as there's healing going on between my mom and I, there's some serious wounding that my dad's doing. And that's really hard. But that's another story for another day. And I like always, I appreciate you guys so much for listening. I love you. Thank you for being there. And I wrap you up in big fat hugs and lots of healing light and love. And I ask the same in return, if you don't mind. Thank you, guys. Love you. Talk to you next time. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @Airstream_Oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.